The Closing Market Report is made possible in part by Justin Wood and Paul Stevens of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois, a full-service commodities firm with two toll-free lines. In Illinois, 800-252-2013. In Indiana, 800-637-3123.
From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 30th day of April 2012. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Diana Ropp at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. And later in the half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with the folks from the Andersons Champaign County facility. In agricultural news, the House Ways and Means Committee is planning to set a hearing on granting Russia most favored nation trade status. The Crop Scouts are touring the hard red winter wheat growing regions of the United States this week. They'll release production estimates Thursday. And the Central Bank of Brazil has released results of trade surveys suggesting inflation is in the offing for the South American nation. Hey, we'll explore those and much more later today. We'll talk about three good fundamental reasons for the price of soybeans to remain high with Illinois ag economist Daryl Good. And don't forget, in just 26 minutes, we'll check in with the folks at Chesapeake Energy to discuss the global agricultural weather forecast on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Either way, the number settled up in Chicago. On this Monday afternoon, May wheat futures at 647 and three quarters up 5.5 cents. July at 654 and a half, 4.5 higher. And September, $6.66 and a half, 3.75 higher. The hard red in Kansas City at $6.62, up 3 for the day. May corn futures, 660 and a quarter up 7.25. July at 634 and a quarter up 8.75. And September at $5.60 and three quarters, 9.75 higher. December futures 543 and a quarter up 4.5 cents, into March at 554 and three quarters up 4.5 for the day. The May soybeans at $15.03, up 6.25. July at $15.05, up 12. August soybeans 1483 and three quarters up 17. September at 1424 and a half up 14.5 cents. November soybeans gained 19 cents today to settle at $13.81. And January at 13.74 and a quarter, up 17 on the afternoon. Bean meal at 434.30, up $6.90. And the bean oil at 54.66, down 52. Live cattle futures finished the June at 114.15, up $1.30. August at 116.20, up 65 on the day. The August feeders at 153.72, up $1.65. And the September's at 154.87 and a half, up $1.67 and a half cents. June lean hogs 85.92 and a half, down 67.5 cents. This is the Closing Market Report. Here's how the outside markets settled for the afternoon. June contracted $104.87 a barrel. Finished down 6 cents. Ethanol at $2.22 and 8 tenths of a cent, 3 and a tenth of a cent higher. Natural gas at $2.28 and 6 tenths, up a dime for the day. Heating oil at $3.18 and 3 tenths, 2 and 7 tenths higher. And the gold futures at $1,663.40 an ounce, down 60 cents. The dollar, 76.76, down 0.06. And the CRB index on the day, 305.92. The Commodity Research Bureau ended 0.41 higher. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service. For the Urbana-Champaign area this afternoon, a 50% chance of showers and thunderstorms. It'll be cloudy. The high of 72 degrees with a west-southwest wind at 7 to 10 miles an hour, gusting all the way to 16 for this Monday afternoon. And then this evening, a 20% chance of showers and thunderstorms, mostly cloudy, a low of 58 degrees. Tomorrow, a 50% chance of showers and thunderstorms, mostly cloudy, a high of 77. Tuesday night, a 30% chance of rainfall, mostly cloudy, a low of 63. And Wednesday, sunny, and a high of 85 degrees. Wednesday night, partly cloudy, a low of 67. On Thursday, a 30% chance of showers, partly sunny, and a high of 83. Thursday night, a chance of showers and thunderstorms, a low of 65. And Friday, a chance of showers and thunderstorms, partly cloudy, back into the 80s, 82. With the high on Friday night, a chance of showers and thunderstorms, mostly cloudy, a low of 64. Saturday, showers and thunderstorms in 82. Saturday night, a chance of showers and thunderstorms at 60. And on Sunday, sunny skies and a high near 77 degrees. We'll have a more complete look at the weather forecast at the bottom of the half hour. We'll talk with the folks at the Chesapeake Energy office, high above the Chicago high skyline on the 23rd floor of the Boeing building. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is a Monday afternoon. Usually we talk with Kurt Kimmel at Bates Commodities. He is out. That's okay, because on hand with us is Diana Ropp, and she's here to take care of what's been happening in the marketplace. Also from Bates Commodities there in Normal. Good afternoon. Thank you for taking the time with us today.
Not a problem, Todd. You're welcome.
Well, there are lots of things happening in the marketplace. Where would you like to start? You want to start with 22-hour trade, or you want to start somewhere else?
No doubt there are a lot of things influencing the market. Let's start with the rain and the planning progress. You know, we started out really great guns, and everybody was talking about, you know, we're going to get all this done in record pace. We're going to be harvesting corn the end of August. Well, that's just not turning out the way it is. We did get a lot done, but there's already replanting being done in some areas, not one time, but two times, and the potential for three after heavy rainfall in some areas last night. We're waiting to see what this afternoon's the industry is looking for, 40 to 45% being completed with corn versus the 36% average in 13 last year. And soybean planting, not quite as you know, under the gun at this stage. The industry is looking for 10 to 12% done versus last year's 7% average. So that is certainly something to watch. And then we have the old adage, Todd, as you well know, rain makes grain. So there's going to be that debate over rain making grain now to a delayed planting progress, as they're looking for rain throughout the Corn Belt almost every day this week. So that definitely is going to put the brakes on any type of quick planting pace, and that August potential for harvest at the end of August is really, I think, beginning to dissipate pretty quickly. And at least it's not going to be with the numbers that what some people had thought of contributing to this historically tight old crop. It's just not going to materialize as quickly as we thought.
So your idea is that the billion bushels that Informa is talking about coming in the month of August before the new crop really should start, probably is dissipating with each passing day and all the rainfall across the Midwest?
I would venture to say that is a real-life possibility, correct.
Mm-hmm. All right. And then what are producers asking when they call? I suppose most of them are out of the field for the day.
Yes. Certainly out of the field today, and probably, you know, for the rest of the week, it sounds like. So when they could call us anytime, you know, to talk about potential strategies. Obviously, we're going to see corrections and pullbacks as we go, as that's just a normal fluctuation of the marketplace. These soybeans, the technicals continue to talk about how technically overbought we are, and that is something we very need to be very vigilant about, as that anytime the funds would decide to get out, it could certainly, you know, we could start a landslide, you know. Not to say that we wouldn't come back up, but barring any unforeseen circumstance, weather-wise or natural disaster or crazy economic thing, or even throw in a Chinese human rights activist that escapes from his home, you know, how is that all going to play out, Todd? You know, there was a little piece about that in the news today, too. He could be being harbored at the U.S. Embassy in China. So how is China going to look at that with all regards to all the product they've been buying from us? You know, at any given time, they might get an attitude and cancel some of those shipments. And then that could be seen as a very negative to our export situation as well. So you just never know, you know.
On the flip side of that issue, of course, is Argentina and Brazil, which would be primary exporters of bean meal at this time of year, and maybe even whole soybeans to China, but not as big a crop. Any more news from them about the deterioration and the size of the crop there?
Yes, actually, over the weekend, another analyst group lowered the estimate of Argentina soybeans crop to 40 million metric ton. They also dropped the 11-12 U.S. soybean carryout to nearly 170 million bushels versus the USDA estimate of 250, and that's quite a cut. And they also lowered the 2012-13 soybean carryout to nearly 80 million bushels. So, you know, yes, there is definitely cuts still being made to the Argentina and Brazil's crop as we go here, and so I'm sure all eyes will be focused on the May 10th USDA report and how they adjust their ideas as well.
Thank you, Diana, for joining us today. We do appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Diana Ropp is with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois, setting in this afternoon for Kurt Kimmel, who is out of the office. You can always hear her again if you'd like on our website. The address is willag.org. That's willag.org. There you'll find all of our daily agricultural programming, from the pre-opening market report to the closing market report and everything in between.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
Now here's Dave with the Ag News.
In agricultural news, the House Ways and Means Committee is planning to hold a hearing on whether the United States should grant permanent normal trade relations status to Russia after that country becomes a member of the World Trade Organization. No specific date for the hearing has been set, but Committee Chairman Dave Camp, a Republican from Michigan, indicated that it would be sometime in June. If the United States fails to grant PNTR, also known as most favored nation status, to Russia, Russia would be able legally to discriminate against U.S. products once it is a WTO member. The effect would be to punish U.S. exporters and reward their foreign competitors who would gain a foothold in the Russian market. Organizers say that crop scouts on the Wheat Quality Council's Hard Red Winter Wheat Tour will see a Kansas crop that's closer to maturity than usual and will see more diseases than in recent years. The record 100 tour participants will spend 3 days sampling fields. The tour releases an average yield estimate Tuesday and Wednesday evenings and a final statewide yield and production estimate on Thursday. A new survey produced by the Central Bank of Brazil shows that financial market analysts and economists raised their forecasts for Brazil's inflation for this year and 2013. Economists now expect the country's inflation rate to average 5.12% at the end of this year, up from a forecast of 5.08% a week earlier. Respondents also increased their inflation forecast for 2013 to 5.53% from 5.5%. Commodities consultancy AgriRal today trimmed its estimate for Brazil's 2011-12 soybean crop by 0.7% from last month to 66.24 million metric tons, as dry weather in northeastern Brazil added to drought-related losses elsewhere. The soybean crop, which is mostly harvested, should fall 12% short of last year's record production by Ag Rural's estimates. The Commerce Department says today that Americans spent a little more cautiously last month. Personal spending rose 0.3% in March, slowing from an upwardly revised 0.9% pace the previous month. Incomes rose a better-than-expected 0.4%. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. That's public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week, that second program. You can always pick up off our website at willag.org. For that matter, all of our agricultural programming is posted there at willag.org. Now, up next, in a moment, we'll explore three good fundamental reasons for the price of soybeans to remain high. The price of soybeans has moved steadily higher in recent months. University of Illinois ag economist Earl Good says there are some sound fundamental reasons for the price hike.
Two or three things happening in the big picture here. One is harps back to the March prospective plantings report that showed intentions for fewer soybean acres here in the U.S. Second is continual declines in the expected size of the South American harvest Those have come down sharply since late 2011. And more recently, we've seen some in the private sector think that the crop is even smaller than the most recent USDA forecast. There is talk that it's increasingly difficult to source soybeans out of South America for fall delivery and into the winter of this coming year, that they are concerned about supplies and are reluctant to commit to sales. And so that's really driven the price of soybean meal sharply higher in recent weeks.
Soybean meal has made new life of contract highs. The picture Daryl Good says is being painted for soybeans shows a modest-sized crop in the United States this year, probably a sharp increase in export demand for that same U.S. crop, and in the end, a smallish carryout number. But let's go back to the contract highs in soybean meal. There is reason for the price of meal to move higher faster than the price of soybeans.
We look at what South America does. They export soybeans and meal, but primarily meal. Not a lot of oil exported. It's mostly used for domestic consumption. So if we are going to get a bump in the export market, it's going to be in whole beans and in soybean meal.
Good admits the price of soybeans is high for new and old crop. Both are well above the insurance price, so that doesn't really matter for the old crop anymore. He says for the new crop, soybean farmers should no longer consider whether or not sales should be made, but rather how aggressively to make those sales during the spring and summer months. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stuart-peterson.com.
You're listening to the Closing Mark Report on a Monday afternoon. To continue our conversation now on the size of the South American soybean crop, Sterling Liddell joins us. He is a vice president at Rabo Agrifinance and Rabo International and its Food and Agribusiness Research Advisory Department, and part of the team that put forward some numbers last week that threw the gauntlet down just a bit further for the soybean crop out of Brazil. Thank you so much for taking the time and talking to us from your St. Louis office today. We do appreciate that.
Yeah, my pleasure, Todd.
Yeah, so tell me about the size of the soybean crop out of South America, what your analysts that are there think about it, and whether it will continue to get smaller.
Well, in terms of where we are right now, we are currently looking at, with no further downgrade, the largest year-over-year decline in global stocks on record, both for the world and also for South America. In South America, we're looking at about a 20 million metric ton decline year over year from last year. That's a pretty substantial amount of soybeans to lose. Looking out into the future, what we could see in downgrade, Brazil is about 90% harvested, so we would anticipate that their number is fairly well in, while there's still some spoilage issues that may have to be dealt with that are persistent every year out of Brazil. We're really watching Argentina, which currently USDA is above 43 million metric tons, but there's the anticipation that could drop. If we go back to an 08-09 scenario, which is what we're similar to in Argentina, we could even go below 40 million metric tons before this is all over.
And how tight would that, then, on the global stocks, that would make things very tight for the coming marketing year?
That would make things extremely tight. We've already seen some signs of demand rationing on the global markets, and it would really push us into that rationing level for prices.
When this happened in 08 and 09, was that the year that China was in early for purchases from the United States?
As China was in early, similar to how they have been behaving this year, we anticipated China was going to actually drop off some this first and second quarter of 2012, but they've persistently been in the market purchasing soybeans, so they're showing the same resilience as they did in 08-09.
Would your expectations for them to be to continue to buy right on through the December timeframe?
Now, China has built a lot of brand new crushing facilities, and their crush margins are currently very strong. Their feed mills are running about 23% above last year. The anticipation is that they will continue to buy soybeans through the second half of the year.
What do you think that this will all mean for the 12-13 ending stocks by the time we get to the fall of 2013 for soybean?
Well, we're expecting stocks to potentially be record tight for soybeans. So looking at a very tight stocks use ratio, our anticipation really is that this would be a very bullish year for soybean prices.
Anything else that we haven't asked you about that you want to be sure to talk about today?
Well, a lot of things going on right now, especially watching the U.S. and what's going to happen with soybean acres. I've heard of replanting and farmers trying to decide whether to replant corn or soybeans. Really, the markets are working hard to try and get those U.S. soybean acres up. So right now, buying and is really gone long in the markets, and so it's set up the opportunity for the potential for a price correction at some point if we continue to be over long.
Thank you so much for taking the time.
Not a problem, anytime.
Mm-hmm. Sterling Liddell is a senior vice president at Rabo Agri Finance. His office is in St. Louis, Missouri. On the phone line for this Monday afternoon to take up the cash grain market is now the folks from the Andersons from right here in Champaign County. Good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, Todd.
And I'm talking to who?
Michael.
Oh, Michael. Okay. I did recognize the voice, so I wasn't sure who I was talking to. So tell me about cash grain movement and what producers are asking today.
Well, today we saw both sides trade. The night session, we're a little bit weaker, and that carried over into the morning. But here late in the day, we saw some buying on the board and looking at some higher prices. The July board ended up 8 3/4 at 634. And beans were up 12 to 19, 12 on the old, 19 on the new. So I think, there's definitely not a lot of old crop out there. It doesn't feel like on corn or soybeans. And I think going forward, a lot of it's in the commercial hands.
Do you suppose that the numbers that came in from USDA are wrong, or they just have the stocks in the wrong hands at this point? And both corn and soybeans, and that the commercials may have those stocks.
I feel like the commercials have those stocks, and I would say that we're a little bit, possibly a little bit lower on corn stocks than what we've been seeing.
Right, because those two things would mean two different things. I mean, if the stocks aren't there, then there's a big problem facing us by the time we get to June and July. But if they're in the commercial hands, as opposed to in the farmer hands, that's a wholly sort of different kind of thing. They're still looking at for brand new stocks to continue to fill the pipeline, I suppose, though.
Correct. And I think it's proof that the old stocks aren't there by what we're seeing happen with basis. Looking over the July board, we're looking at numbers in the 40s now. I know that with the way the May and the July inversed here towards the end of the trading period for May, 40 over the July is only equivalent to about 15 over the May, but it's still a strong value. So,
and what are your bids for the day?
Today we are at 6.55 for old crop corn. We're at 5.18 for new crop beans. We're at 14.87, and new beans were at 13.56.
Hey, thanks so much.
Thank you.
That's the folks at the Andersons right here in Champaign County. Join us to take a look at the cash grain market. I'll be back in just a couple minutes when we'll discuss the agricultural weather forecast with Chesapeake Energy and the folks at their office in Chicago, Illinois.
It's National Oatmeal Cookie Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1865, Robert Fitzroy died. A British naval officer and meteorologist, Fitzroy devised a storm warning system that was the prototype of the daily weather forecast. He also invented a barometer and published the weather book. In 1872, Louis Pasteur lectured at the French Academy of Science in support of his germ theory of disease, in which he held that many diseases were caused by tiny organisms. In 1904, the Louisiana Purchase Exposition opened in St. Louis. It was at the fair that the ice cream cone was reported to be invented. The hot dog and iced tea were also popularized at the fair. In 1952, Mr. Potato Head is introduced to the world. The original Mr. Potato contained 70 body parts. The parents had to supply children with real potatoes for the body. Mr. Potato Head was the first toy to be advertised on television, and the advertising blitz netted Hasbro more than $100 million in the first year of production. Mrs. Potato Head came a year later in 1953. And that's This Day in Agricultural History.
Listening to the Closing Market Report on a Monday afternoon. Josh Darr from Chesapeake Energy is on the phone line from Chicago, Illinois, to take up the weather forecast. Good afternoon to you, Josh.
Todd, how are you today?
Oh, I'm doing very well as I'm looking at the numbers here in the studio for rainfall. It appears that we've gotten about 7,300s or nearly 3/4 of an inch of rain. I don't know whether that's the last 12 hours or the last 24, but it's not bad one way or the other.
Yeah, it's probably close to your 24-hour total. Totals have ranged quite significantly across the state. Up north, Sterling, Rockford, around 1/4 of an inch, 6/10 of an inch in the past 24 hours in Peoria. And then you go to Springfield and west, and that was the wet zone in this event. Springfield actually picked up 1.9 inches here on, by my calculation. Champaign, as you mentioned, in around 3/4 of an inch. So a decent rain event across the state. Now, if you look at the past 30 days, the wettest quadrant of Illinois has been the southwestern part of the state. The northern, the eastern, the southern areas have been drier, so the rainfall totals up lower up north. You still need more to bat down some of these growing moisture deficits that have been mounting over the past 30 and 60 days.
It sure looks like there's enough rainfall out there that that might happen. Do you think so?
Yeah, the pattern here, particularly across the northern eastern parts of the state, again, which have been the driest over the past month or two, are in line to get most of the rainfall over the next 7 to 10 days. And the pattern is pretty active across those areas. We have multiple disturbances, none of which are prolific rain producers amongst themselves. But when you start adding up the totals, and truly almost every day over the next 7, you have rainfall opportunities across some portion of the state, again, biased north, biased east. You add the totals up for the next 7 days, and you're looking at basically 1 to 2 inches with isolated 3-inch amounts across northern eastern portions of the state. That'll be a significant boost to topsoil moisture after the drier trends we've seen so far this spring.
A good thing, I suppose, for much of the Midwest, which has been ahead, but it won't stall, I wouldn't think, planting for very long as it comes. It might come over several days, but planting should ensue pretty quickly because it's still not that big a rainfall, right?
Correct, right, exactly. It's not unseasonably heavy. In the past couple springs, we've gotten weeks where we've seen easily 5+ inches of rainfall, nothing indicating that. So, sure, will there be a couple days where you're raining or you've had rain overnight and you can't get in for 12 to 24 hours? Sure, but it shouldn't bring planting to a stop. And anywhere across the bulk of the Midwest, so planting should continue for cleaning up beans and, or cleaning up corn and maybe starting to think about beans a little bit.
How about Iowa, Minnesota, and then the hard red winter growing region?
The hard red belt has some rainfall prospects over the next week, and actually it's more so late in the next week and early the following week where their chances improve. Here across the northwestern Midwest, Iowa, Minnesota, they actually look to be the recipients of the heaviest totals over the next 7 to 10 days. So the planting numbers that come out this afternoon will be very interesting to gauge whether 3-4 inches in some areas of Iowa, Minnesota, the next 7 days is planting ahead or behind at this point. And, certainly the numbers coming up here shortly will be important.
Only a few seconds left to talk about China. Anything of import there?
No, China has had a wetter than normal past 30 days, and then rainfall prospects look to be average for the next 2 weeks, as well as a slight bias on the warm side for China. So all in all, great start to the growing season there.
Hey, thanks so much, Josh.
Thanks, Todd.
Josh Dar is with Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois, joins us from high above the skyline on the 23rd floor of the Boeing building. And that wraps up this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report. You have a great afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason.